God. Isn't that the sum of all we try to preach and promote? Sunday school lesson was appropriate today, as my topic is associated with blessings and cursings. Today I'm going to change gears a little bit. I'm going to attempt to teach. Forgive me if I get a little preachy. It's in my blood. It's a fire in my bones. But I want to talk this morning about a topic that is very neglected and at the same time very abused. We want to set things right. There are most pastors and elders and teachers really don't like to talk about this because of the repercussions and the responses that it gets. But I'm one of you, so I can talk about it.
Amen.
And I can talk about it clearly, and I can tell you exactly what the Bible teaches about it without fear of repercussion at all. Of course, it will come. We all know that. Truth is always attacked. The preacher's not the one attacked. It's the truth that's attacked. So remember that. Turn with me, if you will, to Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to talk this morning about the tithe. The tithe is what we're going to be talking about this morning. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Will a man rob God? This is God asking the question. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. You know, that should settle the subject. Mm-hmm. We should be able to close our books and Bibles and go on with it and understand and know that that's God's will. Subject is over with. But because there are so many out there that are confused about this at the very least, we can't do that. We've got to expound and explain. Use other passages of the Bible to bring out God's intent here and purpose. He continues, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes. You know, the apostles writing in present tense. Here, now, men receive that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If we're going to claim to be Christians, you know, we're claiming to be in a covenant with God. We talked about that earlier. And every covenant is made up of agreements. Every covenant is made up of obligations. We are basically in a trust agreement with God, who has given us stewardship over His creation. We are stewards of God's creation. This means that God owns it, and He has entrusted it to us to oversee it, to wisely manage it under the leadership and direction of the Word of God. The tithe, this first 10%, is a test of our legal obligation to God. It's a test of that. Tithing is the first 10%, the first fruits of our increase. That's how the Bible describes it. But that is not the sum total of our obligation to give. I don't want anyone to get the misunderstanding that our obligation to God is the first 10%, and then, you know, the rest is ours. We still have to manage that under God's tutelage.
Right.
We still have to order our finances under God's way, even the whole other 90%. But what I'm talking about today is that tithe, that first 10%, we don't have management over that. That's God's. That's the end of it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You and ask Your wisdom and Your truth to be expounded today. Lord, help me to express Your word with appropriateness and understanding, that this topic be completely spoken of and that we understand it properly, because there is such misinformation about it. In Jesus' name. Now, first off and foremost, the tithe is not based on ceremonial law. The tithe is not based on ceremonial law. We're going to prove that right here. Now, tithe means tenth. That's what it means. It's just the meaning of it. One tenth. Specifically, the first tenth. The first fruits. That one tenth of your increase is what the tithe is. That's just what it means. The tithe is not part. It was not based on the ceremonial law. And here's why. Because the tithe is pre-law.
Right.
It originated before the law, the ceremonial law we're talking about, Moses' law on Mount Sinai. It was given and it originated before that. The tithe did not originate with the law, but it's a basic universal principle. It's just a basic principle. Now, it's included in the law. We're going to talk about that more, but it wasn't established by the law. Throughout history, man has recognized his duty and his obligation and acknowledged this principle of the tithe. All ancient cultures practiced tithing in some form or fashion, one way or another. All ancient cultures did it. It's a universal principle. Even from the beginning, in the testimony of Scripture, we have Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4 in reference to an offering, bringing forth their offerings before God. And we remember that Cain's offering was not pleasing to God, but Abel's was. And I think the reason is, and it's very relevant to the tithe, is because the Bible specifically says that Cain brought from the fruit of the ground, but Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. I think that's speaking of the tithe. It's the firstlings. It's the beginning of that increase which Abel brought to God. And that well pleased God. They understood that. The tithe is an acknowledgement of God's ownership. Abel knew God owned all that. As soon as the increase came in, he brought to God. Now, I think there were other implications involved as well. Heart issues with Cain and that sort of thing. But it's interesting that the Bible says the firstlings of the flock. So Abel is acknowledging God's ownership. And not only God's ownership of all and everything, but he's also acknowledging his stewardship. He is properly being a good steward over what God has given him. And by giving this offering, he is expressing that thought. In Genesis 14 is the first mention of a tithe, and we read about that in Hebrews. In Genesis it says, And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Melchizedek, king of Salem. We have here a type of Christ. Christ is our high priest. We have here him receiving tithes from a type of the faithful. You understand, Abraham was the father of the faithful. Abraham is a type of all the faithful who are following in his way, right?
Right.
So you have a type of Christ receiving tithes through the personage of a high priest from the faithful. Okay? So here we have established tithing 400 years before. Over 400 years before the ceremonial law was ever established.
Right.
We have evidence here of tithing by the faithful. We have biblical evidence of the biblical patriarchs practicing the tithe. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 22, Jacob recognized the obligation of tithing. He said, And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. You know, that's important. This is a representation of God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee, the tithe. Of all that thou givest me, I've established right here the semblance of the house of God and of everything with which you increase me, I will give you the first tenth. I will give you that tenth, the tithe, established by Jacob. The patriarchs practiced the tithe. So already we see here the linking of the tithe with God's house. Abram giving tithes to the king of Salem. Salem, an early reference of Jerusalem.
Right.
Zeba, Jerusalem after that, right?
Right.
God's presence. The place where God decided, this is where I'm going to build my house. Abraham giving tithes to the king of Salem. Jacob referencing tithing in the same phrase as establishing the house of God. And then when tithing was incorporated into the ceremonial law, it related directly to the house of God through the priest's duties and ministrations of the tabernacle and then of the temple.
Right.
This isn't hard to understand. God says it's robbery to withhold tithes. Stealing is moral in nature. Understand that. We understand that. And God calls withholding that tithe robbery. I'm going to steal from God. You know, like I said before, the passage of Malachi should settle the whole thing. But because there's this weird distinction now between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's Old Testament. You have to explain these things.
Mm-hmm.
And even among those who will agree that, oh, well, yeah, there's, okay, Jesus wasn't correcting Moses, and he wasn't correcting the Old Testament, there's still some kind of disconnect when it comes to things like this.
Right.
It's sad. It's unnecessary. And therefore, it breeds much accusations about the tithe. Oh, it's just legalism. Well, we've just proved that it's not legalism. It's not part of the Old Testament ceremonial law. Or it's part of it, but it wasn't established there.
Right.
It was established well before that. This is basic universal principles, tithing is. It's the fundamental first principle of stewardship. I have got to establish the fact that I am only God's steward. I don't own anything.
Right.
Therefore, the first principle, he gets the tithe. It goes to him. It's his. The nature of stewardship is that it's not ours. We're simply overseers of someone else's property. That's what a steward does. That's what a steward is. He's watching over someone else's property. It's not his. the first tenth tests our mandatory obedience to God. You're not tithing, but what are you doing with the rest? Mm-hmm. Often wondered that. People that don't tithe, well, what are you doing with your money? Where's it going? What are you paying for? Oh, well, I give to so-and-so, and I give to this. Well, that's all great. Give to the poor. We'll get to that too. Do these things. That's not tithing. That's not that first 10% that's God's. And we're going to show that too through Scripture. God said, that's mine. Don't touch it. People were touching it. The first 10% tests our mandatory obedience to God, but the remaining 90% proves our love for God. What are we doing with the rest of our money?
Oh, I tithe religiously every week. I tithe.
Well, that's good. What are you doing with the rest of it? You show your obedience, but what about the love? Does your checkbook show that you love God? Now, some insist that tithing is Old Testament custom, and it just does not apply to Christians. But we recognize that tithing preceded the law. We just showed that. We recognize the fact that tithing was adopted into the ceremonial law, and it was amended with all a bunch of regulatory and situational requirements. We recognize that the tithe was sanctioned post-law in the epistles, and we'll get to that, in such places as Hebrews, 1 Corinthians 16, Philippians chapter 4. No, the tithe is not some legalistic custom of Judaism. It's a commandment of God. Hatred of tithing is evidence of antinomianism. Got real quiet. But I know y'all agree with me. Hatred of tithing is evidence of antinomianism.
Right.
Against law. Because tithing is part of God's law. It's part of what He commanded. It's part of what He set forth. It's part of what He requires of us. And if you're not willing to adhere to those things that God requires of us and explain it away as something else, you are antinomian. That's just the way it is. Antinomians hate God's law.
Right.
They hate His requirements. It reveals this lack of, this hatred of tithing reveals a rebellious spirit. I don't want to do with that what God said to do with it. I want to do with it what I want to do with it. That's rebellion. Mm-hmm. Flat out rebellion. I'm going to do with what I got as I please. Rebel. You know, a lot of Christians would admit if that was in any other realm, that, oh yeah, he's a rebel. But when it comes to finances. I have found that when you want to really rile somebody up, if you're going to rile up a rebel, there are two places that you can touch and push buttons, and it's going to bring about a storm. One is their children, and the other is their checkbook.
Yes.
I guarantee it. Somebody in rebellion, somebody not wanting to walk away according to the statutes of God, you touch those two things. You see what happens. God demands first. That's why it's the firstlings of the flock. That's why it's the first fruits. God demands first. God demands best. Bring of your offerings without spot and blemish. Oh, the man's... Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. Wouldn't it be better if I used the best? No. Bring the best. The first belongs to God. God demands the first. He demands the best. But man likes to keep the best for himself. Because man is inwardly covetous. No, I could do much better with that myself than giving it to God and letting Him do with it as He pleases. People think about that, about their souls too. Why wouldn't they think it about their money? Generally speaking, a man that hates tithing is opposed to biblical authority, period. Generally speaking.
Generally, yes. That's true.
They are rebellious and covetous in spirit. In other words, there's going to be more problems than just that they are robbers of God.
Right.
Count on it. In general. A man that refuses to tithe hates God's requirements in other areas as well. It's not just going to be that one thing. Oh, he may give here or there. He may give here or there, but ultimately, it's about remaining in control.
Right.
People that resist God in matters of salvation, it's about remaining in control of their own life, their own spirit. They want control. I want to decide how I use God's money. It's about control. Now, I understand, and I'll probably qualify this a couple of times, these things sometimes need to be taught. Now, I knew when I got born again, I went to church, I knew I'm supposed to tithe. I didn't understand all the implications of it and all that kind of stuff. But I understand that some of this needs to be taught. There is, under the umbrella of the law, something called the law of the tithe. It's full of complex regulations with explicit application of the universal principle of tithing. There are specific applications for this under the law. Specific circumstances of the Old Covenant economy. And you know, it is near as impossible to keep those specifics under the law of the tithe as it is for temple sacrifices. It's almost as impossible to keep. So we're not under the law of the tithe that's dictated in the ceremonial law. There's a whole lot of this and that's in there that we're not necessarily under. But the tithe itself, the principle of the tithe, predates that law of the tithe,
right,
and it survives it.
Right.
Well, what does Jesus think about the tithe?
Jesus never taught on the tithe.
You heard things like that? Someone said, Jesus never taught on the tithe. I beg to differ. Matthew 23:2, we have an all-encompassing inclusion of it, don't we? Saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they observe you, or they bid you observe, that observe and do. Yep. You think the scribes and Pharisees taught the tithe?
I think they did.
But do not ye after their works, for they say, do not. Jesus basically said right there, obey Malachi 3. I've heard this before. Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, that abrogated the tithe. Well, let's read what he said. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. And right there, every antinomian stops.
Right.
Why? Because they can't read the next part. It would totally obliterate what they're trying to say.
No, Jesus abrogated the tithe right there.
Oh yeah? Ye pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Oh, this is what he said. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Not leave the tithing part undone. Oh, no. He didn't abrogate the tithe. He sanctioned it.
Right.
Right there. This ought ye to have done, and not leave the tithing undone. Yes, faith, or judgment, mercy, and faith, and don't forget to tithe too.
Right.
That's what he said.
Right.
Do you know Jesus practiced the tithe?
Jesus never tithed. He was God, so he didn't have to tithe.
Yeah, he did. It was part of the law. He had to tithe. Otherwise, he wouldn't have fulfilled the law, would he have?
Right.
Jesus practiced tithing. Yes, under the law, under the Levitical system, he practiced tithing. He had to fulfill the law. Another evidence, maybe an evidence from silence, as some call it, but you know, he was never criticized for not tithing. Not in any of the scriptures can you go through and find, and I guarantee you, if he had withheld his tithe, there would have been something for the Pharisees to jump on him about right there. And they would have. But they never did. It's nowhere in scripture. Not only did Jesus sanction the tithe and practice the tithe, but he actually commanded it. Jesus was speaking, in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus is speaking of the duty of giving, specifically of paying civil taxes. Jesus sanctioned the tithe there. He actually commanded it. Because in the same way he commanded us to pay taxes, he commanded the tithe as well.
How do you figure that?
Mm-hmm. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. They didn't stop there. Render unto God the things that are God's. And we're going to show you in just a minute, God said, the tithe's mine. Render unto God the things that are God's. You know, tax evaders and tithe evaders are of about the same spirit. Mm-hmm. They want all the benefits of the system, but they don't want any of the responsibilities to fulfill it. Same way. You know, tax evaders, they all of them.
Go and pay my taxes out of evil government.
They'll ride around on its roads, which taxes pay to keep up. They'll use other parts of the infrastructure, which taxes use to keep up. Tithe evaders are the same way. They want the benefits of the church. I'm talking about the ones that are actually in a church and refuse to tithe. Because the lone wolves out there, they don't count anyway because there's nowhere to bring their tithes to. They want all the benefits of the church. Oh, they start talking about tithing. That preacher, he's a money grabber. You don't have to worry about that for me. If we are sanctioned of God to do our duty to the civil magistrates so that they can operate and accomplish the duties that they're required to accomplish, how much more the necessities of God? You have even people that would pay their taxes gladly. They'd pay their taxes gladly. They wouldn't balk at that. Yet they'll refuse to tithe. What's that about? How much more the necessary operation of God's house? And the only sanctioned way to do this is to render unto God through the avenue of the storehouse. The storehouse that Malachi talked about. That's the local church. That's bringing unto the local church. Yes, we should give to the poor. Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of one of these, you've done it of my brethren, you've done it unto me. But that doesn't even start until after the tithe is taken care of. Sacrificial giving and offering doesn't even start until after the tithe is taken care of. Because that's not your money. This is how God finances the storehouse. This is how God finances the local ministry. It's through the tithe. The means whereby God finances the needs, the requirements, and obligations of this local church is through us. Understand? If something's going to get done that needs to get done, we're going to do it. It's going to come forth from the meat stored in the storehouse. That has broader applications too that I'm going to try to get to. But that's where it comes from. The obligations of this local church is met through us as we're obedient to His command to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Which is another reason to be in a local church, isn't it? If you're out there running around by yourself, where are you going to bring your tithe? Yeah, that's a commandment. Now, bring the tithe unto the storehouse. All the tithe into the storehouse. Where's your storehouse? Jesus is Lord of our finances, and we're going to give an account to Him. Not just the operational aspects of how we spend, but our very motivations. And if we're withholding tithe, our motivations cannot be pure. tithe belongs to God. That's whose it is. It's God's. Leviticus 27:30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." All the tithe is the Lord's. Render unto God what is God's. That's not confusing, is it? It's not real confusing to me. I think I got it. It's the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The tithe, the first 10% of your increase, is holy unto the Lord. Separated, sanctified, put aside for God. It's holy unto Him. It is the Lord's. The tithe is specific. It's not ours. I've been saying the whole time, that first 10%, that's not even yours. There should be no question in my mind. Okay, the first 10%, I can't even look at that. It's not mine. Once we've paid our tithes, or the tithe is specific and it's not to be used how we want to use it. Once we've paid our tithes, we haven't yet given anything. Wasn't mine to give. It's God's. It's not mine. I haven't given anything yet. We have only met the obligation to hand over to God what He demands. And we can only start giving once that obligation has been met. I know, and I've tried to explain this to people, is that there's always an excuse. There's always, I've tried to get all my bills paid, there's just nothing left to tithe. I want to tithe, there's just nothing. Whoa. Messed up already. After you've paid your bills, you just paid your bills with God's money. That's His. No. It's not after I pay my bills. The tithe goes first. Then you start working on your bills. What if I can't pay for my new car note? You should have bought a car. Were you banking on using God's money to pay for a new car? You're banking on using God's money to pay a higher electric bill because you don't want to sweat a little bit? Or whatever the case is? No, you can't do that. That's God's money.
Right.
You don't give to God from what is left. It's off the top. Now see, that's all over Scripture. That is the principle all over Scripture. The firstlings, the first fruits, the first this, the first that. The best goes to God. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. How are you going to honor God with your substance and the first fruits of your increase? Well, obey Him and give Him what's His. It's the Lord's. The first 10% of your increase. Now, this is gross income, right? This isn't the subtract that. Okay, now this is mine. No. You know, I've seen people, and they'll get a paycheck for $213 or something of that. They'll write a check, you know, $21.30, cheapo. Who does that? Why would you do that? Oh, I want to keep good records. No, you're stingy. You're scared you're going to give God too much money? I mean, you make $230, you get $25. It's not going to hurt. I mean, what is that? That, to me, that's stingy. Cheapskate. Afraid they're going to give God too much.
Down to the last penny.
Oh, I've seen this too. I have seen this. It's not here anymore, but I've seen it. Making change in a collection plate. And that, it shocked me. You know, I used to sit back there and pick up the collection plates after they went all through and set them on the table in the back there for Brother Jesse to pick up. And you got a guy back there with a 20 fishing through looking for a 10 so he could get change for a collection plate. Drop the 20! Good grief. Cheapskate. You don't touch the tithe. It's not yours. Now, what if I went to someone, Brother Daniel, here's $100. I want you to hold this for me. I'm going to come back and get it later. I'm going to need it later, but I want you to hold that for me. Okay? Now, I come back later on. Daniel, I need my $100. Oh, Brother Jeff, I don't have that anymore. What do you mean you don't have it? Well, I need to pay my car note. You paid your car note with my $100? What would you call that?
Robbery.
Robbery! And yet that's what people do all the time with God's money. professing Christians are robbing God. It's not hard to figure out. All Christians tithe. Period. It's the natural conduct of a redeemed heart. The desire, at the very least, to give back. All Christians. Now, just because somebody tithes don't make them a Christian. But if you are right with God, you're going to tithe. Now, like I said before, some people don't understand the dynamics of this. Some people need to learn it. Some people don't have it all right exactly. But the heart issue, in the heart, people are going to want to give back to God.
Right.
It's natural. It's part of the natural conduct of a redeemed heart. I want to give back to God. No question about that. And God has given us perfect avenue through the tithe. We see in Hebrews chapter 7 there, he said, "And verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law." Taking tithes. Oh, could you imagine that? Could you imagine if the church instituted that? Taking tithes? Oh, boy. Now, while the law of the tithe was coercive, the heart of tithing is willingness. Because he says shortly thereafter, "But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham." A willingness to give in the heart is represented there. Because apart from the law, the tithe is to be given of a willing heart. You know, you can't coerce people to tithe. Someone's not going to tithe with you. "I refuse to do that. A preacher is going to take it and use it." If someone refuses, you can't make them, is what he's saying. It's done willingly. Now, you're not tithing. You go back to what I said a minute ago. All Christians tithe. Period. But tithing is to be, the tithe is to be given of a willing heart, because it's just the natural conduct of that redeemed heart. The tithe is for the service of the ministry. Like I said, while we're not subject to specific aspects of ceremonial tithing, we are to adhere to the nature of the principle of the tithe. Numbers chapter 18, verse 21 says, "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, while we're not even able to follow the law of the tithe specifically as dictated in the ceremonial law, it does give us insight into the nature of the tithe. It reveals the true purpose and principles of the tithe. First, it goes for the priest's service of the tabernacle. That equates to us today as church ministry. The priest's ministering in the tabernacle. That equates to us today as church ministry. The tithe is not for the poor. The tithe is not for the poor, it's for the work of the ministry. That's what the tithe is for. You want to give to the poor? Great. And you know what? When we bring all of our first fruits into the storehouse, the church, the local church, is able to reach out to those poor a whole lot more effectively than I could do it myself.
Right.
It's practical.
Right.
It's understandable. But no, the tithe is not for the poor. It's not to distribute at our own whim.
"Oh, well, my great granny, she's not doing too good, so I'm just going to send my tithes to her."
No, it doesn't work that way. You don't get to decide what you can do with God's money. You want to send money to great, go ahead. That's fine. That's wonderful. It's a good thing to do. But it's not the tithe. Don't get confused. The tithes are for the support of the gospel, the necessities of the function of the church. The tithe is given as support for the storehouse, that local church where God has planted us. Now, like I said, people without an assembly, they can't bring anything to a storehouse. There's no storehouse. Someone's looking for an assembly? Good. Save up your tithe, and when you get to a good local New Testament church, give that church, that storehouse, your tithes. That's where they go. They don't go to grandma. Paul equates support of local ministry with that of the Levites. Listen here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Now this is referring back to Levitical priesthood, right? He's referring to the Levitical priesthood. Listen to this. Even so, in like manner, just like this, hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The tithe is right there, sanctioned by Paul, for the support of they which preach the gospel, the ministry.
Oh, I don't think pastors should be paid.
You're not very biblical. Paul right there said they should. They should be supported right there. Even so. What did were the Levites supported? The Levites were supported, right? By what? By the tithes of the children of Israel. They which minister, they which wait, right? Even so. The Lord ordained. I didn't ordain it. Some preacher somewhere didn't ordain it. God ordained it. The Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So simple. It's not hard. The pattern is right there established. Now, Paul chose at this point, at this juncture, not to receive support of the Corinthians. He didn't want it. But he did receive support from other assemblies, didn't he?
Right. He sure did.
Particularly the Ephesians, the Philippians.
Right.
Says, now tell me. What was it? Epaphroditus he sent, right? How could Epaphroditus have bought anything to Paul if it hadn't been brought into the storehouse first?
Right.
And laid up for distribution by those of the local assembly? It couldn't have happened. God ordained the tithe for the support of the service of the ministry. I think pastors should be recompensed for their time and energy and effort. I believe they should. And I'll stand toe-to-toe with anybody that says otherwise because I got Bible. Now, if one opts not to do that, that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. But they should be recompensed. Especially, at least, the pastors that I've known, the work that they do, the things that they do, nobody would want that job. Nobody would really want to do that. Most people. Most pew-sitting Christians would never want to be a pastor. They don't lift their finger to do anything else in the church. You think they're going to lift their finger to do everything? I guarantee you, a pastor does everything. So, you have a problem with the tithe? You have a problem with the minister of the gospel being remunerated? You have a problem with filling the storehouse for the work of the ministry and the furtherance of the gospel? That's fine. You take that up with God because He's the one that ordained it.
Well, what about mismanagement of money by the church?
Well, sure. Yeah, there are places that's happened. There are places right now
preaching hard on the tithe
that are flying jets and living in mansions. That's not what we're talking about. That's mismanagement. That ought to be rebuked. That's wrong. But what about mismanagement? While we're required to tithe, While we are required to die, we are also required to be good stewards.
Right.
So I'm not saying be stupid. Watch. Is there some kind of supposition? You suspect something about the storehouse being done wrong? Ask questions. Ask about it.
Amen.
But many who use this as an excuse to withhold tithes, even though they have no reason to even suspect such.
I'm not going to give my money to them.
What's that about again? Control. They want to control it. If you have no evidence and no reason to suspect that the tithe and the church management and finances is being mishandled, you know what? You're in trouble with God if you refuse to tithe on that stand. And if there is mismanagement and you can't trust them, what in the world are you doing there?
Right.
You think if I couldn't trust the pastor and the elders and the leadership of the church to handle my measly little tithe that I end up giving? You think I'd be sitting there trusting my eternal soul to them? Oh, please.
No, mismanagement of money. I'm not going to...
Get out then. Either prove it or shut up. Find somewhere you can give your tithes to.
Amen.
But don't withhold them, because you're calling down a curse upon yourself. Find a trustworthy assembly. Get in, get involved, and fulfill your obligation to God. Because the tithe is demanded of God. He demands a tithe. The tithe is demanded with associated cursings and blessings. Blessing for faithfulness and curse for disobedience. We read it there in Malachi, didn't we? Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. You withheld your tithes, you're cursed. I didn't say that, God did. Then bring into the storehouse. Oh, wow. And prove me. I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, is this like those goofballs teach that, you know, you give your 10% and God will return it 100-fold and all that kind of... No. You are going to live a blessed and happy life if you just obey God and do what He says.
Right.
God's going to open up the windows of heaven. You know what that means? That means He's smiling down upon you. You're blessed of God. Now, you have to keep the other stuff too. You don't expect just to tithe and all of a sudden God's happy with you and you're doing something else you ought not be doing. But that's what that is. Blessed. You take that, you withhold it, and guess what? Those windows get closed. God's not smiling down on you no more. He's kind of upset with you. Stealing from Him. Robbing from Him. This is as plain as day in the Scriptures, yet people refuse to believe God. Robbing God. Resulting in a curse. Being faithful. Being eligible for that blessing. Now, tithing is part of God's program. Adhering to the requirements of God is what the program is all about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there are those that hate that line. Oh, you say program. I didn't realize, Brother Mark, when you first started to say that, but oh, they hate that word, program. You know what? You ask them what it means, they can't answer you. What does it mean? What do you mean when you say that? Nothing. No response. They can't answer. They don't even know what it means. But they hate that word. Here, I'll tell you what it means. It's a plan or system under which action may be taken toward a goal.
Amen.
Hey, that sounds good to me. Let's get in the program, guys. But you know what people don't like? They want that goal, but they don't want to conform to the plan or the system or the action.
Right.
That's a Merriam-Webster dictionary definition. It's not hard to figure this stuff out, people.
Right.
They have their own agenda. But if we're going to reach the goal, you must submit to the program. How many different times can we say that, and how many different ways? I don't know. Paul in Titus 2 equates the pattern of good works to doctrinal purity. That's the program. That's the way. That's the plan. That's the system. That's the action. A God without a program is inept. And that's just how the rebel wants God. They want Him inept. That's how they want Him. But He's not going to play their own game. Is God haphazard? Arbitrary? Mercurial? Then He's got a program. And tithing is included in that program. So in conclusion, tithing was not established by the ceremonial law.
Right.
But as a universal principle of stewardship and love and acknowledgement that God is our provider. Right. Tithing predated the law, it was incorporated into the law, and it has survived the law. Jesus sanctioned the tithe. His very life endorsed it. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. It belongs to God. And withholding the tithe is equivalent to robbery. That's what God said. Brother, you have been saying it. God said it. The tithe goes to the local assembly. Giving beyond the tithe is encouraged. It's a great thing. It's wonderful. But it's not the tithe. The tithe goes to the storehouse. And God demands that His people tithe, subject to the recompense of a blessing or curse. You know, tithing is like almost everything else in God's economy, too. You must purpose in your heart to do it. If you don't plan to do it, you're not going to. You just won't do it. Everything else in God's program is that way. You must purpose to do it. Why is that? Because God don't want lukewarmness. He wants things done according to His way, according to His pattern, and according to His purpose, with a pure and a whole heart. So plan. You have to plan to do that. Plan to tithe. Like I said, this isn't all-encompassing, and it doesn't cover every little aspect. And we are not saying that tithing is the end of our obligation to give. We must give of our time, of our effort, of our energy, and everything else as well, to this local assembly. We must give over and above that where we see need. Help the poor. I don't suggest you pull over on the side of the road and give a guy standing on the corner a $20 bill. You could probably buy him a Big Mac. Help the poor. Help family in need. Help others that we see in need. But that's not the tithe. Make no mistake. Tithing is unequivocally commanded in Scripture before, during, and after the institution of the ceremonial law.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. A couple things I'd like to add to what he said. First of all, you think you're going to outgive God? Not only did He give us sustenance daily, air, sun, but He gave His Son.
Mm, yes.
You know, the world has learned a lot from the church. The system of insurance. You have many people paying a little bit so that when one person needs help, they're helped.
Yep.
Okay? You find in the book of Acts, you find them bringing their gifts. You know, in the book of Acts, when the church began, all those were Jews and they were still paying tithes to the temple. So when Barnabas had land and sold it and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet, that was not his tithe. His tithe went to the temple. But they were also giving to support the new covenant church that was beginning there. Okay? But they were still Jews paying tithe to the Levitical priesthood, and they continued to do that until the temple was destroyed. But notice that the widows were helped. These men brought money and laid it at the apostles' feet, and that money was made distribution to the widows. Okay? Now, did the widows tithe? Yeah, the widows tithe too. You come to a biblical church. You're traveling from afar. You've got to get established. Okay? You've got a body of believers where people are tithing. You come here and you wonder how you're going to make it. So you give God the first fruits, and then you don't have enough to pay your electric bill. You think the church is going to help out in that? Of course. Of course. The tithes that went into the storehouse were there to help the poor and those in need. So he that gathered little had no lack, and he that gathered much had nothing over. And everyone helped with the common goal. So, yes, if I pay my tithes, if I give God the first fruit, and then I get into a tight spot, the church is there to help. Okay? And so it is a system of insurance, per se, that I'm a part of a covenant. Everyone in the covenant supports brings it into the storehouse. That storehouse helps those who come into a tight spot and have a need. So we help each other in that way, but it is a managed help. The Bible says that those who have grandchildren, let them take care of grandma. But if there's a woman, who's destitute, she's taken care of from the church. The tithes go to take care of the destitute and the elderly in the church. The tithes went to maintain the temple grounds. Everyone was benefited from having a place to go and worship. The tithes went to build synagogues. Everyone was benefited from those buildings. People who try to, you know, the hippie Christianity, oh, no buildings, you know, everybody just meet in homes. Okay, initially they had to meet in homes, because the buildings were taken up by those, the synagogues were controlled by the Jewish Sanhedrin. When they were kicked out of the synagogue, they had to meet somewhere. So they met in homes when they could, but they also built buildings. There was nothing wrong for Christians to build buildings when they had been meeting in synagogues that were built by the same means. The synagogue was a building. And Christians eventually built their own synagogue. The word synagogue means assembly. The word church means assembly. They both had an assembly building. There's nothing wrong with church buildings. That church building has to be built and maintained. The tithes of the people went to build and maintain the temple, the priesthood, and the synagogue, so that they, as a people, could be taught the law and so forth. So, giving to God is like a little child giving his time to help in the household. My dad used to say, everybody in the boat rows. Well, you're in the boat, right? You rowing is just common decency, because you are in the boat. The boat is moving for you. And so for you to row in the boat is necessary. Well, the tithes that come into this congregation and the offerings that come in are kept. There's a record kept. It's saved. All right? We plan to build a building. That building will have to be maintained. That building is not going to be... I'm 51. Okay? That building will serve me personally for a while. But when I'm gone, that building will be here for you, your children, and your grandchildren. It'll be for the propagation and defense of truth against all the nitwits out there.
Amen.
All right? And so it'll be here as a place, like the synagogue was, a center of the hub of the community for your future and for the propagation of the gospel. And so when we give our tithes, when we give God what is His, God gives back so much more.
Amen.
And I think that in the Gentile churches, the Jews that were in the Gentile churches were still paying tithes to the temple. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then they started meeting with the churches, with the Gentiles grafted in, the Christian churches. Okay, they were giving offerings yet in that group as well to support that group too. So I'm not sure how the Jews, if some of their tithes went to the synagogue, some of it went to the temple, or if they supported the temple, the temple supported the synagogues. I'm not sure the details of all that. But their tithes and offerings were God's. And they were given to the work of God. Well, as Gentiles were grafted in, Paul sets up the same. He says, concerning the collection of the saints. Everybody understood what that meant.
Yep.
Every week let every man lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Okay? Now, when I do a job, I get a paycheck. Part of that paycheck pays for materials and expenses. I don't tithe. That's not as God has prospered me. The profit from that job is what God has prospered me. Okay? The profit is what I tithe off of.